Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to the Her Podcast. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This is Tara.
And Kate.
And Yay. Kate. Woo, 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 woo. Yay. Okay. So, today's episode, we have a few different things, some new segments we're going to try out. Segment one we're trying out is Article of the Week.
Yeah, so for anyone who doesn't realize, because I feel like we never talk about it, we are technically the podcast for Her Campus Lafayette, which is like an online women's magazine, I guess. That's how I usually describe it. Mm-hmm. And so we thought that a nice segment that we could do is highlighting an article of the week. So written by a different Lafayette student this week. I found one that I think is particularly relevant to anyone who listened last week. So basically, one piece of feedback that I got from my family that listened to our podcast was that we have no actual knowledge about the topics that we discuss, which is, you know, pretty fair.
True.
But there's actually, if you were listening last week and wanted to learn more details about the royal family, we talked a little bit about the crown and just like, you know, all of that. There is a new article on Her Campus called The Crown's Impact by Emily Mackin. I think that's how you say it. If not, I'm so sorry, Emily. but it talks about like the sort of the controversy around the show, how, you know, the show got a lot of, it says swept the Golden Globes, which I didn't actually know, but it's interesting.
We don't really know what we're talking about.
We don't know anything. But it talks about like the, you know, actual events that happened, like, and how Princess Diana coming in this most recent season was like a big deal, and how because, you know, a lot of people lived through that experience, it's weird to see it then on a TV show because it's not really history. It's still part of like, you know, everyone's knowledge or a lot of people's lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So interesting article. We recommend checking it out. Lots of other cool articles were posted. So check them all out. You know, it's always a good time.
Thanks, Emily, for the truth, for the actual research. And next up, our other new segment is we want to do like a movie review or maybe like a show review weekly. And just this last weekend, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me and Kate and some of our friends watched Moxie on Netflix.
Oh, baby. Yeah, we did.
Kate had already seen it, which is why she recommended it to the rest of us.
Yeah, I saw it and then forced everyone to watch it. I like would not stop talking about it until they did.
But it was so good. It's like a, it's basically like this kind of like coming of age feminist type movie about this teen girl who meets a new student at her school, and this other girl is very empowered, super like feminist and forward, and she knows how to use her voice, and our protagonist doesn't really know how to do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so she learns from this girl, and it's about like her and her friend group and her school and how things kind of evolve and the sexism they face that they just are normalized and used to, and how they challenge that. And it's just like a really good story. And I feel like it's very relevant because it's not like it accurately depicts a lot of the things that are still sexist that we don't think about.
Yeah.
Like all the attention guys sports get over girls sports, and like how sexual harassment will just often be let slide, especially if it's like a popular boy or a boy who is like on an important sports team or things like that.
It's also like a lot of like sexual harassment can be sort of seen as like, oh, he's just annoying. Like, just don't, you know, ignore him. And then one of the girls, the like more empowered girl, is like, why do I have to ignore him?
Yeah.
You know, why doesn't he change his ways? And I was like, oh, you're right.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, the guy that the main character, there's this just this sweet, sweet boy that she, you know, I won't give any spoilers, but there's a bit of like a romance, and he is so just perfect. He's a perfect guy.
He's perfect.
Yeah.
I unfortunately was, I was cynical about it. I was like, sure. Yeah, he's cute.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched the movie and the character is flawless.
He's like, not only Does he, like, say the right things? He does the right things. He's nice. He's respectful. He's woke. All of the above. He literally checks off all the boxes.
His body language is honestly really attractive. I'll say it.
He's also, like, a cool skater boy, which, like...
He is. He's not, like, the typical... I like how they kind of challenged. It's not like she has a crush on the head of the football team.
No.
It's, like, kind of awkward, skater boy.
Yeah.
But he's so cute. And I was like, Kate, I have a crush on him. And Kate was like, well, he's mine.
I'll
so
back off.
It's been claimed. Okay. Friends don't do friends like that.
No, no, no. We can all love him together.
And Kate was already following him on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't. I feel like I haven't watched a movie where I've been, like, in love with the, you know, the romantic lead. Is that the right word? Yeah, like yeah. The romantic counterpart in a long time, and I fell for this guy.
He's literally perfect. He's so I can't cute. Explain it. Like, you should watch it.
Everyone needs to watch Moxie. There's, you know, obviously the female empowerment stuff is great, and, like, that's why you watch it, but then this you know, side story about this romance is just kind of keeps you going. You
yeah, know? It's like a nice break.
Yeah, it's a nice break.
And it's a nice, this movie is definitely not all men suck. It's like, here are the issues that we face, and we should all work towards.
That's why it was good that he was so, you know, knowledgeable and, like, respectful and everything, because it wasn't that, you know, all these girls are fighting against, like, all men in the world. It was, like, they need the male allies with them to fight the bad ones out there.
They were all fighting sexism together.
Yeah.
Which is a very important message.
And there was, you know... The principal of the school is, I think it's the principal who she goes to, is a woman, and she's complicit in a lot of the, you know, assault and that whole situation. And so it speaks to, you know, just because you're a woman doesn't mean that you're, you know, a feminist or that you're doing everything right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like all the characters represented, like, different parts of the movement and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, also her mom was, like, kind of the wave of feminism before her. Mm-hmm. And so you had a lot of different characters who represented different parts of it, which was really good to see.
And it was interesting. I mean, the main criticism that I have and that people have is, like, obviously having the lead be a white girl is, like, a little bit disappointing. But, like, the mom is Amy Poehler, who directed it as well, which is cool, and produced it. And she talks about when they have, like, this heart-to-heart moment that, like, her feminism growing up was not intersectional enough. And so, like, that was interesting to hear about. And there are a lot of, like, unique characters that help her. But, you know, to some extent, it is still a little bit problematic in that sense.
Yeah. I felt like they were trying to hit on, like, every social issue, which is, like, good that they're acknowledging it, but also because it wasn't, like, a super... Like, I don't know. Like, when someone commented, like, there's a disabled character in the movie, and she's, like, in every scene, but doesn't really have any, like, story, if that makes sense. She's kind of placed also, there, almost as, like, a box being checked.
There's also, like, a trans character who has, like, a bunch of funny lines, kind of like the disabled character, but they're not, like, it's, like, is it good representation? I guess you'd have to... Like, hear from actual communities, like, actual trans people who watch the movie, if they were upset or if they, like, enjoyed having that character.
Well, it's, like, it is important for girls who are white to recognize that they still face sexism and also recognize how their feminism needs to be intersectional and they need to think of other women of all different backgrounds as well. But it's also, like, the main character was the white girl, and then the next kind of main character was... I think, like, Afro-Latina, and then, like, the side characters were trans and disabled, and it just seems like it kind of, like, the less central they were to the story, the less central, like, those communities of people, I think, have been to the feminism story so far in history.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. Still a great movie.
Still a great movie.
Like, those two truths can exist at the same time, that it's a great movie, has a great message, maybe needs to work on a bunch of stuff.
It would be nice if there were more Moxies about characters that often aren't the centerfold.
Yeah, yeah.
But guy's really cute.
But the guy is so cute.
He really is.
And we still definitely recommend it. You should definitely watch it. It's also not like a super like, obviously it's an upsetting and angering movie, if, you know, because, like, the problems that they're talking about. But there are also lots of funny moments, lots of, like, nice, sweet moments. It's not just, like, a really dark movie, which I think it easily could be, you know.
I think if you have a, if you know a young woman, it might be a good movie to show, or a young man.
Yeah, a young man.
A young person, it'd be a good movie to show. Although there are some serious topics, so I think if, like, they do talk about, like, assault and rape at some points. So just, like, if they're really young, you know, it's judgment call if you have, like, a younger sibling or something. Maybe watch it by yourself first.
I think our friends were, one of them has, like, an 11-year-old sister, and she thought maybe she was a little too young, but the other one has, like, a 13-year-old sister, and then she was like, she'd probably be okay with it.
Yeah.
So that's probably where the line is.
Yeah. Teenager or not, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our new segment. Those are our new segments. Yeah. Also, Kate, do you want to... I didn't watch the Grammys last night, but I will watch clips at some point. But Kate did. If you want to give, like, a brief summary about it.
Oh, man. You want me to be brief? Or you want
I don't know. Go on.
Share all my feelings?
Talk about as much as you want.
Okay. So the disappointment started around 4:30 p.m. when, basically, before the Grammys... So the actual Grammys were, like, 97%... performances and, like, 3% awards. There, I think there was, like, 6 awards, maybe. And so before the awards, they announced, like, 80 different awards from in the afternoon to, like, various people. Like, a lot of R&B awards that, and, like, jazz and bluegrass, I saw at some point. And then they happened to be announcing best pop duo slash group performance, which they usually announce during the show. So it's a little sketchy, but whatever, it's fine. But my, you know, my favorite band, BTS, they were nominated and they didn't end up winning. It was really, really sad. It was only upsetting because if you look at purely the numbers, first of all, okay, so Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande won, and they've only performed their song one time. One time at, like, the BBMAs, okay? BTS has performed their song, like, over 30 times with, like, different outfits, dance routine, like, I mean, like, slightly, you know, variant dance routines, you know, sets, the whole nine yards. Okay, so if the award is based on performance... BTS has performed better than Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande. And also, like, in terms of, like, sales and streams and, like, being on the Billboard Top 100, like, it's, like, literally aren't comparable.
Yeah.
The numbers. So, whatever. I could get heated about that. I could talk for years about how, you know, they have to work so much harder. And also, I saw a lot on Twitter people talking about, like, you know, POC artists in general have to work so much harder to receive the same recognition. So, like, my favorite member of BTS, like, his response was, I guess we just have to work harder, like, when they found out that they didn't win. But that's so sad, because if there was an American artist, like, getting all of the things that they have been getting, it would literally, it would be a no-brainer. But because, you know, they're Asian... And because even, I mean, this song's in English. They purposefully put out this song in English. And it's their first English song because they knew that, like, that was the only way to, like, get the recognition. And they wanted to just do, like, a fun song because everyone was sad when they released it, you know. But, yeah. Anywho, very upsetting.
I also, I'm not as much of a stan as Kate is, maybe, but I like BTS, like, casually. And I am really surprised that Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande won. And I think, and I like both of those artists. I think they're both great ladies.
No, I love fans, them too, yeah.
But I was like, oh, that's just, like, not right. That's clearly just, like there's, it. They are objectively worse by far in, like, every way for this category.
Exactly. It's, yeah.
They're just familiar and white American pop stars.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, well, they did a thing. That's probably the best. It's just literally not at all.
But, like, yeah, even if you, like, watch the performance, like, the one that Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande did, like, it's not, like, an amazing... It's not like, you know, oh, my God, this one performance deserves the world, you know?
I feel like... I don't know. I again, probably don't have any right to be talking about this, but if I were like Lady Gaga or Ariana Grande or something and I won this, I would be like, I would like make an announcement being like, thanks, you were wrong. Like maybe do a little dance because it's a performance category, and like a little Twitter video, some snaps, a song.
They weren't at the like announcement, Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande. They announced the award, and a lot of the people were like on Zoom, so it would cut to them being like, "Woo, BTS were on." They were waiting. They posted a video on their Twitter of them like not winning.
That is literally so heartbreaking. Sad. And the fact that like Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande didn't even show up. They don't even care.
Because it's just like they just did like a fun collaboration, and you know that's fun, but I don't think they were, you know, going for a freaking Grammy.
If I were them, I would literally make a public announcement about how terrible that is the recognition that POC artists deserve.
Yeah, but anywho, I mean that's a whole nother conversation around the Grammys, because like the Grammys themselves are so white,
and they're also so American
and super American.
Also, like the Academy Awards. Yeah. I feel like the inherent having a best foreign film is like, what? Yeah. Like the fact that that's just a category, and it's like, what does that mean?
Like, I guess it like, I mean, it started probably in like a good reason, you know, to like, you know, get those movies out in like a less globalized world. But nowadays, like, movies are so easy to find. You can stream anything. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's... Like, any type of award is so, like, old school now that it's just rooted in just, like, oh, let's just award, like, the popular American artist, the popular, like, the thinking is so dated.
Yeah.
And it's just not representative of the world we live in. It's also just, like, not fair to the people who are putting in so much work and doing so well.
Yeah.
And who are the best artists aren't getting the recognition.
Yeah. Like, Bad Bunny, he performed at the Grammys. He was the most streamed artist in the last year and like didn't get anything, I don't think. Or actually, that may not be true. He might have gotten one. He may have gotten one, but like still, it's just interesting, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to undermine the people who did win, because the thing is, like, they're great artists, but it's that their fellow artists who are also just as great, if not even better, don't get any recognition at all because they're not American, white, etc.
Yeah.
And that's what's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But on to the people who did win and some of the performances. Harry Styles opened. He was
king.
Unreal. It was so good. We were like screaming over it. And it literally like brought me back to my One Direction stan days when I would like watch them. Harry wasn't my favorite. I was a Niall girl. But Harry is... I mean, he's very talented, and, like, he did a great job. It was kind of, like, a quiet opening. Like, usually the openings are, like, really, really grand, but it was pretty, like, chill. He just sang his song, but he had a cool boa. His boa was sweet. Oh, my God, it was so sick.
He reminds me of, like, a modern-day Bowie or something.
Yeah, I don't know if he's, like, quite as experimental and unique, because now, like, obviously, like, nowadays everyone's, like, a little bit more used to, like...
Right.
That, but he definitely has those vibes. But I wouldn't say like he's like has the same
breaking impact. Any yeah, crazy he's not, boundaries.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
You think that, and then when he wears a dress on like a magazine, people freak out.
They're like, "Why isn't there a cut between your legs? The fabric is not cut where the fabric should be cut."
That was like the stupidest thing I've ever. When people were like freaking out about him wearing a dress, like first of all, we are in 2021. Why do you care? Literally, why do you care? And second of all, like, there are cultures around the world where, like, men wear dresses nowadays. Like, it's not, like, I think the original tweet was something about, like, the West, like, losing masculinity.
Yeah, like, as if that's what...
Like, I think we're going to be okay. It's still pretty rampant.
It's rampant and not in a good way. I hope we would. I wish we would. It's like, oh yeah, everyone got mad because Candace Owens was like, we're not going to be, we don't have strong men.
Yeah.
And then we were like, yes, conformism. Conformism to Western traditionalist patriarchal values, the strongest of traits. Is conformism a word? Conformity!
Conformity.
I like, said that like six times.
I thought it was a word that you knew that I didn't know. I'm like, Tara's so smart. She's using this big word.
No, she's dumb. Earlier in class, I felt nobody was participating except these two girls, and I was like, I'm going to participate. And both times my professor was like, because I didn't know what I was talking about. But that's the off. Okay. The Grammys. Harry?
Okay, yeah, we had Harry. Who else did we have? A really cool performance from Billie Eilish and her brother. She's just so talented.
She's cool.
She's very cool. Taylor Swift performed, which is wonderful. She had a really cool set. Basically, her set was like, she looked like a fairy. She was like in all this like gold and like all this shiny stuff. Ooh. And then she like moved, she was like in a forest, and then the set was like an attic kind of. Very cool. Mm. I'm looking up who the other performers were.
Taylor Swift, another victim of extreme sexism.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add that in here because we're having a kind of.
I went through, well, because I was a One Direction fan, mm-hmm. I definitely went through a, ooh, Taylor used Harry for fame stage, mm-hmm. which I'm appalled at now. I hate myself because it was just me not understanding that wasn't the case because that was like the story being told, you know? But they were both at the Grammys and like talk to each other and it was normal. I don't think their relationship was anything like crazy dramatic. I think they were just two young people like hanging out.
Well, I feel like also a lot of young women are the most subject to that kind of sexism as well, because it's like aimed to kind of like suppress women, and I feel like when you're a young girl especially, you end up falling into it without even meaning to, like thinking that like the things you like are not cool, like because they're considered girly.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. I feel like you see so many young girls who are embarrassed about like liking what they like, or like so willing to get mad at another woman because that's how people in society react, and they're just being trained, which is really sad.
I hate to bring things back to BTS again, but don't hate to bring it at all. But a major criticism that like a lot of people have had towards BTS is like, oh, their fans are all just like screaming young girls, like whatever, you know, which is like what people always say about like boy groups, right? First of all, like that's just not the case for BTS fans. Like their fans are incredibly diverse and like even just in age, incredibly diverse. They're like, it's like evenly dispersed from like teenagers to like 70, 80 year olds. But then the problem is then people fight back against the like comments that their fans are only little girls by saying like, no, they're not. I don't know if this is making sense, but yes. they try to fight against that idea when like there shouldn't be any problem with a group that a lot of girls like, you know? Yeah. Because what's wrong with that? Why are we hating on? I think we've already talked about this in another podcast.
Let's bring it back.
But literally just let girls like what they like, you know? If there's not an interest that girls can have that they won't get hated on.
Society thinks the things young women like are dumb because they don't believe in the worth of young women.
Yeah.
Which is false. Every single human being has an equal worth. And everyone makes their own choices that can affect the way they deserve to be treated by others.
Yeah.
But enjoying an artist's music literally has no effect on the worth of a young woman. And then also, I think as those women get older, they feel pressure to like certain things to maintain some sort of worth.
Yeah.
Like they want to prove that they like the things that boys like, because those are considered to be like worthy.
If a girl likes gaming, she gets hated on for being a gamer girl and for trying to be like one of the boys. If she likes sports, she gets hated on for not being girly enough because she, you know, or whatever. Or like if she's too muscular because she, you know, is a gymnast. Like,
exactly.
Like, if you're going to talk about Simone Biles and you're going to insult Simone Biles, I will come after you. She's a goddess.
She is a goddess. And that's the thing, is it's like, it's women are forced always into this impossible dichotomy. No matter what it is, there's always two sides, and neither one is the way to win because you'll be criticized for it. It's like the I have to be careful about what we say on the show. So I'm trying to think of like appropriate words. It's like the pure versus not pure standard, where it's like if you're considered to be like sexually active in like a whatever way, then you'll be slut shamed. But if you're not, then you'll be shamed for being a prude. Mm-hmm. That's like a really common dichotomy.
Yeah.
And then there's the, if you like boy things, you're like, you should be more girly. If you're too girly, you should not be like that because girly things are dumb.
Yeah.
There's always a binary that girls are forced into, and neither one is a way to win.
Yeah. I saw this TikTok of this boy who had a podcast with one of his friends.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
Competitors.
But he was like, do girls have interests?
Oh my God.
And I was appalled. I was like, this must be like sarcastic, like something. But you know, he was genuinely like, he's like, what do girls do? And I'm like, I can't even start thinking about how ignorant you are of everything. I was shocked.
Oh my God.
I know. He genuinely asked that. But luckily his friend was like, what?
Why are women not viewed as humans?
What are you talking about? Another Black Pumas, they performed at the inauguration, and I recognize the song that they performed at the Grammys. Really good song. I forget what it's called, but look them up. They're really good. Okay, I recommend. Who else performed? Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B. Megan was really good. Cardi was like, oh God.
Oh no.
Cardi. She just, oh man. It was their first performance of that song, of WAP.
Oh yeah.
And I think Cardi should maybe, I don't know, dance a little bit less. I don't know what the solution is, but I think she was lip syncing the whole time and then not dancing that well. So I'm like, it was tough. It was a little painful to watch.
Did they?
They
were allowed to perform WAP on television?
Also, because that song is so explicit, like, they said two words.
You just heard macaroni and then 6 minutes of silence. Yeah, and then
it was so much like silence and like bleeping and all of that. It was barely recognizable as the original song.
It's just the kids pop version.
Yeah. And then Lil Baby did a really good like performance about Black Lives Matter and like calling out the Biden administration, being like, we call you to actually do stuff. Mm-hmm. It was really good and like very cinematic. There yes. we go, that's the word. Very cinematic and powerful.
Okay, right on.
Yeah. And then Taylor Swift won Album of the Year.
For which album?
For Folklore.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we have a lot of Taylor Swift stans in our friend group. And let me just say, it was wild, the ones of us who were watching at the same time. It was very exciting.
Was Folklore and Evermore nominated? Or
I don't
Folklore?
Think Evermore was nominated. No.
Okay.
Because Evermore was kind of just like another, kind of like an add-on, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah, I feel like it got less, people were like, oh, again. But it was less like, what?
Yeah, yeah. I still haven't really listened to Evermore that much.
I think I know some people who I think vibe with it more and some people who vibe more with Folklore. They're just like sisters, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're just going to get get along a little bit better with one. Mm. So, yeah.
Interesting.
I feel like I listen to Folklore and I'm like, this is my album. Evermore is great, but this is my stuff. And then I listen to Evermore and I'm like, I forgot about these songs. There are some songs in Evermore I really, really like. Mm. So I go back and forth.
As you That's should. Great.
Right? Why pick?
Yeah.
Wow. That was a great chat, actually.
Yeah. The Grammys, as frustrating as they were, there were lots of good performances and still a good time. I enjoy watching awards shows, even though it's not really about who wins in the end, because it's pretty arbitrary.
Yeah, it's just like someone just being like, yeah, you.
Except when the ones that I want to win, like when Parasite won last year for best film at the Oscars, I was like, let's go! I was so excited.
Well, it's like, it doesn't matter, but it does, because it's just like, what group of kind of old, like, archaic, what are they going to choose? But when they do recognize
when
someone,
they
it's
pick
like
the right one.
Oh, you, like, there's hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the whole world might change.
Yeah, yeah. It feels very hopeful when you know, the one that you want mm-hmm. wins, which I guess is why these still go on. makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, our main segment of the day, we were going to talk about... Oh, the computer keeps turning off. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But our main segment of the day is we're going to talk about, like, just adjusting to online classes. Mm-hmm. Because I have three classes online and one that meets in person this semester. Mm-hmm. Do you have any in-person classes?
Mine are all online.
How's that been, adjusting?
Well, my initial adjustment was from two classes to four because during the fall I did part-time school and part-time work. So that in and of itself was difficult because mm-hmm. it's just a lot of, you know, like managing time, which I didn't really have to do because, like, it wasn't hard to manage two classes worth of homework, you know? Mm-hmm. So I finally feel like I'm sort of getting into that groove a little bit more. It's just so much Zoom and so much sitting at my desk and the uncomfortable chair. And so I'm like, I try out like different padding situations. You know, my pillow makes me a little too high for my desk, so I can't use the pillow. But, you know, my robe works sometimes, or like a blanket. And I've found like many different ways to sit in my desk. So, you know, one knee up, two knees up. Mm. Then I have to make sure I'm wearing like decent pants, you know, because like I can't wear like pajama pants. And then like my knee is in the shot and it's, you know, has like snowflakes on it because I'm wearing my winter pants. But yeah.
It's a struggle bus. Mm. I've definitely gotten butt sore, butt hurt, like literally. And then I'm just on my bed. Like, sometimes I'm really? Just, you know, I don't feel like I have any professors who are like, what do you do? Like, I might have a professor who, like, might make a joke. Mm. But, like, as long as I'm participating, I feel like they won't really care. Mm. But I usually go to my desk.
Yeah.
Usually. And then I have, like, a special sub. You know, I have my computer with the Zoom open, and then I have my phone. And I, like, kind of lift my phone so it's not visible on the camera, but, like, mm-hmm. I can, like, check. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can have different tabs open on your computer, so you can be staring very focused forward, but also, perchance, be doing something else.
Do you find it difficult in your in-person class to not be able to, like, check your phone and do all that type of stuff?
No. My in-person class is, like, super interesting. Mm. I'm taking Women in the Criminal Justice System, and it's a 3-hour long class once a week, and I feel like it literally flies by because I actually care what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I care what everyone in that class has to say because they're all super smart and the material is so important that I don't notice. Whereas, like, sometimes if I'm in, like, a class that's less interesting to me, it's just so much harder for me to focus. So I'm actually really looking forward to next year and the following year because this is kind of the last semester I'm taking, like, my general requirements and things like that, where I'm just like, I literally am just taking this to check off a box. Yeah. No offense. But I'll be glad to be in more classes where I'm, like, riveted the whole time.
Yeah, it's very interesting, like, how those more, like, specific classes are just so much more interesting. Mm-hmm. Because even the professors are more interested in teaching it.
Yeah.
You know, like, as much as, like, an intro class is important, they're more passionate about talking about, like, something that they're doing research in or, like, a field that they've, you know, studied for a long time. Mm-hmm. So...
Yeah. Completely agree. Also, I feel like a lot of the professors who are super seasoned and good and have, like, just so much experience in that specific topic and maybe only are, like, doing research every other year are the professors who teach those really advanced classes. And so it's, like, you also get such a sophisticated opinion and person to, like, guide you. And it's almost like it's so cool that I get to talk to you and learn from you.
Yeah. The theater department has been bringing in, they had this series where they brought in female playwrights. Mm. They got, like, a grant to do it. And so this past week, I've got to listen to two different female playwrights that were so, like, so interesting to listen to. One, Cara Dodds-Fitch, is, like, she wrote this, like, she writes, like a play every couple months. She's, like, has so many plays under her belt and was, like, super interesting. She talked about, you know, like, theater industry and my professors were like excited to talk to her, which was like fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And then Lauren Yee came in today to one of my classes, and the same thing, like my professor was like trying to ask her own questions as we ask questions. But because of Lauren Yee specifically had this musical, or she calls it a play with music, called Cambodian Rock Band, that was have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had never heard of it, but it was supposed to be like the next big show.
Uh-huh.
And it was like getting like geared up to like really like, you know, make it. And then like COVID happened. And so we were able to get her to come here. So
that's crazy.
Cool. Yeah.
Because I remember, why do I know about that show? I feel like maybe I was supposed to see it or something with my family.
What?
Maybe it was because it got, maybe it was because of COVID that I didn't. I remember like reading about it and like being like, oh, this is cool. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, it seems really cool. It's about like the Cambodian genocide and like generational trauma, but also music. And it's, she said that after like we're able to do theater again, it's going to go on a nationwide tour.
Wow.
So maybe it'll come to wherever you're sitting and listening now.
Yeah. You can oh my gosh. Hey, listeners. Hey, world.
Yeah, she was cool.
That's so cool. It's cool, like, to hear, I don't know, I was just like, oh, I actually know what you're talking about, and I'm not even, like, a theater major.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so rad.
Mm.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, I guess we're both starting to get to the point where, like, our passions are coming through.
Don't you love that?
I do. I really wanted to go, love Lafayette and all, but I really wanted to go to a school that didn't have general requirements, mm-hmm. because I hated them in high school and I thought they were even less relevant in college, and I don't enjoy them here at all, no offense, mm-hmm. college, but I'm like, I want so much to learn about the things I'm passionate about, and I'm just like trudging through things I don't care about at all,
really,
just to check a box sometimes.
See, I feel like Lafayette's Common Course of Study is like very malleable.
Mm-hmm.
Like I am like more of a liberal arts fan, so that's why I've enjoyed it. Like I got to take creative writing, which if I was just gonna be a psych and theater major, I never would have taken.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that. And so I think it's all about like getting classes that you're interested in. Like maybe you shouldn't have taken computer science. is that where the
CS is fine. It was more like you have to take like a quantitative reasoning class.
Yeah.
And I also offer, it wouldn't accept my college credits I have from Portland State University in math. So it was like, I just feel like I'm wasting my space and my money.
Mm-hmm.
On things when I could be learning about, like, I could have taken one of those classes that is so riveting and important and informing, mm-hmm. last semester.
Mm.
And it's just like, I don't know.
What did you take for your quantitative reasoning?
I took calculus again.
Oh, geez. Why'd you do that?
Well, it was that, or it was like the world. It was
world,
like,
of mathematics.
Yeah, but I was like,
take, yeah, but I don't have to.
Because you're in a stats-based class, right?
Yeah, one of my psych classes fulfills that requirement, which is really nice because that is not my thing.
Well, yeah, I was just like, I have to take like a class like that. I have to take a CS class now, which is like, I'm sure I'm learning skills.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I'm sure I'll forget them. And it's like, even if it is valuable, what's frustrating is I'm missing out on something else in order to take it.
Yeah.
But I know that it's, for some people, it is really valuable because they discover new majors and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, to each their own.
I think like Lafayette is like any at a liberal arts school, like you need that, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I think you are getting skills like out of those classes. I think I'm just a fan of. Sue me. I'm a fan of the Common Course of Study.
Yeah.
But I get your perspective, definitely. Like, it is frustrating that you have to, like, kind of, like, wait to get to those more interesting classes.
Yeah, I almost feel like I wouldn't mind having to take things if it didn't come at the cost of anything else.
Yeah.
Like, if I was, like, I don't know. I'm, like, I wish you would not charge me to take that class that you're forcing me to take. But, oh well. I'm airing out my grievance. No one asked for this. I know there are benefits to it. I applied to this school. I applied to liberal arts schools.
Yeah.
I got a very nice scholarship. I am very appreciative. I do not want to come off as ungrateful that I have this very amazing opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, back to online classes.
Yeah. One frustrating thing about online classes, specifically online assessments, is like they just don't feel the same as an in-person assessment. Like if I'm doing a test in person, there's just like something about the energy of the room, you know. Everyone's, you know, kind of geared up to get this test done. Everyone's flipping through the pages together. Like, I mean, not together. We're separate. No cheating here. But, you know what I'm saying? And it's just not the same as, like, filling out questions on a website.
Yeah.
And so I find it more difficult to do tests. Like, I'm slower at online tests for sure. Like, definitely. And, like, it's just not, you don't get the same feeling of accomplishment after you know, when you turn in a test and you walk out and you feel the fresh air. It's just not the same.
Do you think you'll adjust back to in-person class as well?
Yes and no. Like, I think it will be difficult to focus for a little bit, like, but also maybe not, because I don't, those distractions aren't as close by, you know, like, there's so many distractions in my room, like literally just like, you know, I could stare at the wall for an hour and have a great time doing it. But in in-person class, I guess it's more interesting because the professor's actually there and like actually, you know.
Kate has a very interesting wall, FYI. Like she really could stare at the wall. It's like covered in cool paintings.
Yeah, I really crafted my decorations this year. I'm proud of myself.
Kate's
my
room
was
so
not
good.
Very cute last year, but it's cute this year.
It just looked like a freshman dorm.
It was bland.
I liked it.
It was vanilla.
But this year
now
it's
I'm like a chocolate chip cookie dough.
Pinterest aesthetic.
Yeah. My room is very has hardcore garden vibes.
Yeah, there's a lot of vines.
So a lot of plants. It kind of just happened by accident, but I like it. I feel like I'm in a garden when I'm in my room, kind of.
It's beautiful.
Which is fun.
Also, a lot of the paintings are, like, floral or plant-based.
Yeah, there's a lot of plants and, like, fruit paintings. Yeah,
fruit. The color scheme is also kind of, like, has, like, a green color, like, yellow mm-hmm. and blue. And it just feels very, like, natural. I don't know. And then you have, like, the wood furniture.
School
beautiful.
Gave me.
School given, but it works.
How's your room decorations coming along?
I just cleaned my room yesterday. It was kind of like a hurricane prior to that, like, I had just items over all surfaces. My floor was covered in clothes, clean and dirty.
Oh, God.
All mixed together.
Oh, God.
There was hair everywhere.
Oh, God.
My floor needed to be swept as well because there was dirt that would stick to my feet when I would walk across it. So it was just a really bad state. So I took like an hour, 2 hours yesterday and deep cleaned everything. I like put everything away. I wiped down all the surfaces. Mm. I like rolled out my rug and I swept the entire floor and I rolled out my rug and I vacuumed the entire rug.
Wow.
It's phenomenally clean right now and I am so determined to keep it that way. That was not the question you asked. I just wanted to highlight that.
I'm proud of you.
My room is like, it just kind of looks like a hodgepodge of stuff I've collected. Like, I'm lucky to have a kind of spacious single at the moment.
Yeah.
From, I have a single because I'm an RA, but I also like just happened to get like a pretty good room. Like some of the other singles in my building are smaller.
Mm.
South has rooms that are shaped very differently. There's like not a lot of homogeneity, but whatever. I still don't know that if that's how you say homogeneity.
Seems
homogeneity?
Like, I don't know.
We'll move on.
Homogeneousness.
Me and Kate only know how to say some words.
Yeah.
But together we get a little bit closer.
Mm.
I just have, like, random things around, and I feel like it looks a little bit like there should be more. Like, like there are a few blank spots on the wall. There's, like, a few areas where it's, like, maybe you should have, like, a chair or something.
Oh, gotcha.
But I also don't really want to spend money on any of
that. Yeah, it's not really worth it.
So it will remain.
When it's nice out, we can watercolor outside.
That would be so nice.
Yeah.
Actually,
got really into watercoloring this past couple months.
Yeah, it's good.
Very fun. I did some watercolor Christmas presents for people. Ooh. Like, I watercolored people's houses and other stuff for some people. That was fun.
It's so cute.
It's very relaxed. I mean, to be honest, it's very stressful in the moment. In the moment, I'm like, I hate this. Not I hate the process, but I hate what I've created. Mm-hmm. But by the end, I'm like, I am a genius. I am the next Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm the next great artist of our generation. And then I come back down to like a normal level of, this is good.
Yeah. They are good.
Thank you.
I love them.
It is a pleasing activity. I recommend.
I have one at home on my corkboard. I should have brought it.
But a watercolor?
One of your watercolors.
You do? Oh, the flowers.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's so pretty.
Tara and I sent letters for a while.
It was
Tara
so cute.
Got sick of it.
I did not. Did I?
I'm pretty sure you ended it.
Oh, that was nice. Yeah.
It's okay.
I could send you them now. I could just put them in your post office box.
You can slide them under my door.
Oh my god. That'd be so cute, actually. I have really nothing to say to you.
Yeah, I know.
We talk like all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
But it might be kind of fun. Maybe we can like create a fake storyline. And we could be like star-crossed lovers.
That's
and
what
like
I felt
I'm
like
in war.
When we started our letters. I felt like we were like, you know, back in the olden days. I don't even
snowman.
I mean, an old thing. Snowman. I sent letters as a kid.
We sound very Gen Z right now.
I know. I don't want to. I love a letter. There's not one of my like top 10 favorite things is getting mail.
Yeah, me too.
So much fun.
Whenever I get letters, I'm like, oh my god,
it's so special. It's
you get to
present.
Open the envelope.
Yeah,
it's nice because it's tangible. Everything, especially right now, everything is just like virtual.
Yeah,
and there's nothing that you really. Like, the time I spend not looking at a screen, I'm like, wow, I can't believe things are, like, real in 3D and, like, not coated in blue light. And it's just, like, it's a sad existence we're living right now. But it's okay, because we're powering through. And it's just so nice to have those little moments that feel very personal and, like, slow and not, like, fast and immediate.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you appreciate it.
Also, I think we should say the word foxy.
Foxy. Oh, yeah. We're going to title this episode Moxie and Foxy.
We wanted to talk about Moxie the movie, and then we needed something that rhymed with Moxie, so we said Foxy. But I feel like it'll feel very random. See, this is, if you made it to the end of this 47-minute long podcast, you will know the secret to the title. That's how you know you're a true fan.
Oh, wow.
You know, everyone else will be like, Moxie and Foxy? What?
What?
But if you made it here, you'll understand.
If you made it here, you're Foxy.
It's an yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's your reward. I guess we can wrap it up because we just did say that.
Yeah. Okay. Good
times.
It's been
real. TTY next week.
Yeah. See you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Woo.